Today's sermon text is from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. You can find it on page 891 of your ESV Pew Bible. Hear the word of the Lord. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. This is the word of God.
You would join with me as we pray. Seek the Lord's help as we look at verse 2. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. May your kingdom come here into this room, into my mind and my mouth. May your kingdom come into the ears and the minds and the hearts of all of us in this room. For the purpose of your will being done here on earth, in us as a church, us as individuals, just like it is in heaven. With fear and awe and joy and gladness. So would you give us today this daily bread? Keep us from temptation and the evil one. Father, would you answer the prayer that we all just sang and speak? For there's power in your words. Father, I'm going to preach on just a few words from your holy Bible. And I really believe that you will take that and change our lives forever. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. So we're in Romans chapter 12, and we're looking, as Jeremy read there in verse 1, where Paul beseeches the church in Rome that they would offer their lives a living sacrifice. We learned that that meant giving your all, just saying, living open-handed is the way I laid it out. Lord, do whatever you want. If you want me to obey you here, obey you there, obey you this way, my heart's desire is to do anything that you, by your mercy, through your Spirit, would empower me to do. And then we noticed last week that he started with the negative, do not be conformed to this world. We learn that this world is where we've been. And that's why we think he started with the negative, do not be conformed to this world, because we're born into this world. This world is so normal to us. And that the world is constantly pressuring us. The world is flowing deep and wide in its way, its culture, its society, the things that are just normal throughout history. And it's sinful, it's defiled, and it defiles us. But then he goes directly to the positive. So when you see these negative and positive in scriptures, don't do this, but do that. There's two commands there. So last week was the command of what not to do. This week, what to do, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And Lord willing, by God's grace, next week we'll see the purpose in this. First thing I want to look at is that transformation is needed. If you remember last week, we looked at the difference between being conformed, which means being pressed into a pattern. So it takes the same thing and it conforms it to a shape. Like Play-Doh kids, it's still Play-Doh, it's always Play-Doh, and you can make it into a butterfly shape, you can make it into a worm shape, you can make it into a sunshine, or whatever mold you have, It's Plato in a different mold, and it's been conformed. And we just touched on that that's different from what we're looking at today. Transformation is what is needed here. The one key thing I want you to understand this morning is that means what you are is not enough to lay down your life as a living sacrifice. What you are isn't enough to be what you need to be, to do what you need to do. When he says be transformed, we're going to look at this definition, be changed. That means for me to be this evening what I need to be by God's grace, through his Spirit, by his mercy, is not what I woke up like this morning. I need changed, transformed. The definition means, just literally and simply, changed in form or external appearance. It's where we get the word metamorphosis, transfigured, transformed, meaning an inward change that shows then an outward change. This word is only used four times in the New Testament. Okay? So you're going to hear all four of them today. One of them you've already heard. Let me show you two more, and they're about the exact same event. One in Matthew 17, 1 through 2. That after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. Same word as transformed, changed before them. And look at this change. And his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. It's used again in Mark 9, where it's about this same account, where Jesus was transfigured, transformed. And what happened is the outward appearance of Jesus all of a sudden became what was in his eternal being, which is a light and brightness and glory that cannot be comprehended. And that was what Paul calls being veiled in his flesh when he walked around. That he could have walked around like that all the time. It was who he was. But we cannot handle it in our sinfulness, and he gave a glimpse of this inner being, this true being, this veiled being on the Mount of Transfiguration. So Jesus was transfigured. It's the same word of what Paul is saying needs to happen to us. We need to be changed. So if you want a glimpse of what your life, what type of change we're talking about, go read those accounts in Matthew and Mark. And Paul is expecting you and me to go through something like that, to where people was looking at us. They'd be overcome. Say, this is something different than anything I've ever seen. A change is needed. We talk about regeneration, sanctification. These are both major transformations. So we're born again. We've covered that in the book of Romans already. We're born again and we become something that we wasn't. The promise in the scripture or in the bulletin this week comes from 2 Corinthians 5:17. He who is in Christ is a new creation, right? We are his workmanship, created anew in Christ Jesus. Christians, a born again Christian, is not what they used to be. They are a whole new supernatural creation. And then for that supernatural creation to grow on this earth, in this body, it's daily what we call sanctification happening, which is change after change after change. This illustration would fall apart at some point, but it's kind of like taking a large granite stone out of a mountain, and now it's totally different place, it's somewhere else, and then begins the chiseling, right? Except that the way the Christian doesn't just get taken out of the mountain, it's like a piece of granite is taken out of the ocean. It once was water, and now it's a totally different thing, and we're a new creation, and then our lives here on earth is God changing us into his image more completely. So the other two times that this word is used is one here today, do not Be conformed to this word, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And the other one, take note, write this down, 2 Corinthians 3, 17 through 18. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, he's talking to the church at Corinth, with unveiled face, he talked about Moses being veiled when he'd come out of the tabernacle, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed. So we, church, the church at Corinth, and the church gathered around the world are being transformed from beholding the glory of the Lord into the same image from one degree of glory to another. And this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. That describes the Christian life. That we wake up and we're a new creation, but we are changed from this glory to another glory. That we should be, in essence, getting brighter and brighter and brighter. Being changed. So every time if you take a dimmer and every little time you move it just a little bit, it gets brighter, and that's a change. It's still light, same essence, but it's just brighter. The Christian life is constant change. What I want you to think about as we go through the rest of Romans is that this isn't where we're already at. And some of you are where you are today, where I'll be at next week or next month or next year. But guess what? You have to keep going. And I have to keep going. We should never be catching up. We should be on this pilgrimage growing and always brightening, if you will, into the glory of the Lord. To live a life of a living sacrifice, a transformation must take place. One, in being born again, regeneration, conversion. And two, in sanctification, is change after change after change. Okay? So point number one, transformation is needed. Point number two, the mind is the manner in which this change takes place. This transformation is in your mind, according to this text. Be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind. To change the inside of a person for the better, or I would say even for the worse, it begins in the mind. It begins in the mind. You may ask, well, what about the affections? Aren't we told to love the Lord our God? Yes, absolutely. The first and great commandment that we as Christians with new minds and new hearts have a desire now to fulfill out of joy is love God. And the second one is love our neighbor. So, we're changed by love then, by our affections. I would say you cannot love the Lord with your whole heart if you do not know who He is, what He has done, what He is doing, and what He will do. You can't love that which you do not know. And the only way to know anything about God is it comes through your mind. So our affections that are commanded to love God and love one another has to be risen from truth that has to go through our minds. Those facts must enter our mind before they can change our hearts. Think about this for a second. Why has God given words in a book as His means to know Him? Think about that. It's so normal to us that the Bible is how you know God. The Bible is how you interpret everything else in all of creation to know God better. So yes, you can know God better by studying the stars, if you know what the Scriptures say about God and the stars. Why is that? That the way He's designed for our affections to rise and love Him properly and worship and live a life is through reading words on a page or hearing someone else read those words or recite those words or explain those words. Have you ever thought that thinking is so important? It's this mind. It's the intellect. It's the seat of reflective consciousness, Webster says, compromising the faculties of perception and understanding and those of feeling, judging, and determining. All that is happening in here and drives it. A few of the New Testament uses, it's used multiple times in the Bible. But on the road to Emmaus, after Jesus is resurrected and the disciples aren't ready, they're walking with Jesus and they don't know it. They don't have that knowledge in their mind. They're walking with a resurrected Jesus who was dead just a few days earlier. And they had seen him before. They knew what he looked like. They knew what he sounded like. These were not strangers. These were disciples. And Jesus is walking with them and talking with them. And they do not realize it until in Luke 24, 45, he opened their mind to understand the scriptures. He had control over their minds and he opened it. And then he started at the beginning and he went through the prophets and he explained. And then they, for the first time, understood that the Christ must come and suffer and die and be raised on the third day. They didn't know that. Their mind had to be changed for them to understand. Another is in the beginning of Romans, speaking of Gentiles. That's everybody who wasn't in a covenant community with God, who were the Jews, the Israelites. In describing them in Romans 1:28, in describing the Gentiles, says, they did not see fit to acknowledge God. God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. So because they rejected what knowledge of God was clear and knowledgeable to them, he gave them over to their own mind, to their debased mind, and then they took what was seemingly clear knowledge and turned it into not understanding anything. How in the world could someone go to, from being created by God, being in His presence, Adam, being saved and redeemed by God in the flood, Noah, how could you have this revelation and be so silly as to make a scorpion out of a rock and worship it as God when it's just so plain? Dear brother and sister in Christ, dear friend who's here this morning, have you looked around at our culture? Have you looked at human history to see how foolish people can miss things right in front of their eyes? I mean, we're down this transgenderism thing, which is just a debased mind going, it's so obvious that that's not it. That we're having that debate now, that we're almost not even having the debate about homosexuality and men and women, and that's just as obvious to look at. That, oh, this is how things were designed to work. And we're watching a society with a debased mind look at it, what's so obvious as 2 + 2 = 4, and come up with a different number. The mind is the manner in which it's changed. It's interesting that right before this, in Romans 11:33-34, where Paul is finishing and he ends his section on God's faithfulness and sovereignty with, the depths of the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and how inscrutable His ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been His counselor? That he had just said this, I mean, seconds before in the letter when you're in, nobody understands his mind. And the next thing is, you need to be a living sacrifice and your mind needs to change. We don't understand his mind, and our minds need a transformation. The last place I picked out of the New Testament that I just thought was fitting was Ephesians 4:22. And the part of this letter where Paul has already explained what God has done, he's now telling them what they should do in response to the gospel and being born again. He said, put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and corrupt through deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. And there you have where you see this Christian is this strange being that is a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. And yet in this body that is sinful, born in sin, trained in sin, and desires sin, what Paul calls the flesh. What he here is called the new and the old. And he says, you got to put off that old and put on the new. And here he tells the church in Ephesus, you need to be renewed in your mind. See, the mind is different from your affections, what you desire, what you love, what you hate. It's different from what you will, what you decide to do. It's that first spot that comes into the funnel of your being that everything runs through. It is the first filter into you, your mind is. And every bit, every bite, every point of data that comes into you goes through this filter. And if you've been raised to hate a people of a certain color, or if you've been taught in your mind to have desires for sinful actions and think they are good, as soon as certain bits of information hit, it will start categorizing it and putting it in folders. And the mind is where the morals get categorized. This is right, this is wrong. And so to go from being raised to hate people who are different from you to being a man or a woman who loves someone different than you because you've been loved in Christ, the filter has to be renewed. It will not sort properly. It will not sort properly. So the transforming, the big change, the transfiguration that we need is in our minds. That's the key to being a living sacrifice. So transformation is needed. The mind is the manner in which this transformation takes place. And now I want you to look at the word renewal. This is the goal. This is where we'll look at the transforming and compared to conforming a little bit, or have those in your mind. This renewing means to make new again, right? Repairing, reestablishing, reviving. The act of making new, renovating. So what we don't do very well as human beings and even Christians is to come into a situation and doubt our thoughts and to think my mind might need to be changed on some things. We do not do that very well. This, according to Titus 3:5, again, is a renewal of the Holy Spirit. It's not just a changed mind, but a renewed mind. It's not like, so I was picturing conforming this morning when I was thinking about this. Conforming is like a rock. There's a place a couple of the kids went to this week. It's called Splatter Rock. It's out in the middle of the woods in Shawnee. And we know a little path to get there through some property that some family has. And you go there, and it's just water falling all the time, right? So I was picturing that, you know, the old picture, here's a rock, and it drip, 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 and that rock is conformed to the world. You think, well, you would think that that rock would change that water, but over time, the rock has changed, one drip after another. And what we think that maybe transformation is, well, let's flip the rock over because it isn't damaged with sin and carved out from being conformed. Just flip it over and it's a new rock. That is not what's needed in our mind. We need to be something besides what we were. We need renewed. Not just changed, but renewed. A changed mind can turn you into a Pharisee or a legalist. You can go from the sin of adultery and gambling and drugs and drunkenness and all kinds of sexual immorality, and you can just easily, with one walk to the front of a church, one confession, you can become a prideful, arrogant, greedy person. And you're going to the same hell, and all you did is flip the rock over. So much of American Christianity is just trading one sin for another, and it's just more acceptable. And it's harder to see. That's terrifying. This changed mind, this transformed mind, is not just a decision to go left rather than right. It is a supernatural act of God that is a renewal. To be like Christ, we must be renewed in our mind. We must go from being a rock to being a living branch from a living root with the sap of the Holy Spirit feeding us. So how do we do this? How do we as Christians, so we've been, by God's grace, we've already covered this in Romans, and we saw that when he addresses them as brothers. So if you're new here, and we're starting in Romans, you have to realize, going through Romans from 12 on, the assumption is you've been born again. So that's the first transformation. But then he doesn't put it on us to be changed. Now go change yourself. I changed you from a sinner to a saint. Now you go change yourself from a saint to a better saint. Sanctification. That's not what this is. It is God's work of mercy to make us holy, to conform us into the image of Jesus Christ. So what are the means by which God does this work? What is His means to renew our mind so that we can be a living sacrifice? What miracle has to take place? I'm going to name two, and I'm telling you, they're miracles. Supernatural act of God is what is required for your mind to change. Christian sanctification is not uncontrollable reflexes, but it's one faith-filled decision after another. Remember, thinking is the chief action here. What are these miracles by which God, through His mercy, same word from Romans 1 there, or 12:1, is going to transform our mind as we think? How do you get this new mind? What's the miracle? Miracle number one, the Word of God, your Bible. Bible understanding is by the mercy of God. For anyone to understand what they read in the Bible, what they hear from the Bible, it takes God doing what Jesus did for those disciples, opening their mind so that they could understand the Scriptures. Do you realize that every day we go to the Scriptures, every day we come here to learn in Sunday school and then church and then women's Bible study tomorrow and another women's Bible study on Wednesday, and then we gather here for the kids and the youth and the adults in here, and then some men on Thursday night, and then a few more scattered out there. What's happening every time we grow and we learn is like walking on the road with Jesus and light bulb. We think, oh, I just learned. Do you realize that was God Almighty who put the sun and the moon in the sky teaching you, changing your mind by a miracle, reordering your files so that things go in the right place? All of that understanding of the Scripture is by God's supernatural mercy. So we have to humble ourselves. As I said earlier, think about this. The mind you have right now is not the mind you need to understand God and His ways more fully. The mind you have right now is not the mind you should have tomorrow and then the next day and the next day. We should be growing. You know, I'm thinking, I was just talking a while ago about Mark, with Mark about some corn and beans. He was explaining to the things to me, and I'm sitting here thinking about now a corn plant. You know, it's 1 inch tall, and if you've ever paid attention, that stuff can grow multiple inches in the right setting the right day, right? And you say, well, that's a corn plant, and it is, but what does it need? It needs change. It's got to grow. It's got to mature. So a Christian is supernaturally something that's died to itself like that seed, and it's alive, and if you look at it, say it's a Christian. But sanctification is, you need growth. The goal isn't getting the plant out of the ground. The goal is a harvest. And we all, in our different lanes, in our different lives, are to be growing and changing. And so what you are this morning is not satisfactory to what we need to be in the evening. And then the next day, just like if Mark went out and looked at his corn, and after 6 days it hasn't grown, he's got a problem. And you address that problem with feeding it something. We have to humble ourselves and realize to daily read the Scriptures admitting that we need a new mind. I was thinking yesterday evening, I told Ashley, I told David this morning, I didn't realize it until a couple of different things happened and it put my mind to it. I started preaching from the Word of God 23 years ago. I preached my first sermon 23 years ago. That made me feel so old. I do not feel that old. And by God's grace, in my dad and the church I was in, it became very normal to start reading the Bible over and over and over again. I don't get it through it in a year sometimes. Sometimes might go through it twice in a year, but it's just daily, right? And what I'm convicted about here and thinking about just this daily is I'm in the middle of Deuteronomy that I've read multiple times, and I have not been going in humbly saying, Lord, change me today through reading about the priest's clothes. I need to be changed. I'm thinking I just need to remind it about something. I need recharge, or I need this or that. My mind needs to be renewed for my sake, for my family's sake, for this church's sake, for us to grow. We need to humble ourselves, read the Scriptures daily, admitting we need a new mind, read the Scriptures daily, asking for His truth, and meditate, thinking on what we're reading throughout the day and applying it daily, acting it out by faith through our affections and actions, acting out in our body as a living sacrifice what we've learned in our mind. The first supernatural act of God by which we are renewed is the Bible. I realize I bang that drum a lot. I hope you realize that's the only thing we can do. That's where our hope is. That's where we learn God. That's where we know about God. It's just this daily, weekly Bible changing us. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Of all the grace and the goodness of God in any change that He's wrought in me, and He's used people, He's used circumstances, He's used all these things, nothing has changed me like the Bible has. And I think that's probably true for every Christian in this room. Changing our mind changes our life. The first supernatural act of God by His mercy by which our mind is changed and renewed. The second one is just as drastic and miracle is church life. Being part of the called out people of God. I learned this when I was running yesterday in a podcast, that over 90% of the times that the word ecclesia, which means called out ones, which is translated church in the New Testament, over 90% of the times that word is used, it's referring to a local church. Not we think church, we think Christians around the world, we think church, we think all the groups in Johnson County. 90% of the time in the New Testament when that word's used is talking about a covenant community like we are here at Fellowship Baptist Church. And it changes the way you read the Scriptures. Because all of a sudden the one another isn't me and my neighbor down the street, it's me and you and me. Right here in this room, right here in this covenant community. And it's God's mercy that His Spirit dwells within His children here at Fellowship Baptist Church. And you can learn so much from others in our covenant community of called out believers. What does it look like to be renewed in your mind by God's grace through His church? I think it parallels the Bible. Instead of reading daily, it's living daily with the church. Praying daily, admitting that we need a new mind as we encounter one another. Living daily with God's people, asking for His truth. It's what you just did in Sunday school. Some of you learn in the book of Revelation. Some of you are in the book of Luke. Some are in the Romans Road down this hallway. Minds are being transformed. Do you realize that if you learn something new that is true about God in the last hour in Sunday school, that was a miracle. That was a miracle. And God worked that miracle by getting a man or a woman out of bed early this morning or here at the church. One of our teachers was here yesterday evening getting a few things ready. That was God. supernaturally working to renew your mind. And we just take it for granted to read our Bible and go to church. I'm not saying God doesn't use other things, but I am 100% convinced from the Scriptures that the two primary, by far, ways in which God has ordained to transform our minds is through reading the Bible and being part of a local church. Nothing challenges me more than reading the Bible and being part of a local church. Nothing forces change upon me more than reading my Bible and being part of a local church. Just applying daily, acting out with our affections and our body what He has put into our mind. So I propose these two simple things as God's main tools to renew your mind. Read your Bible, listen to the Bible, hear the Bible, go to church where they teach the Bible. Live in community, get coffee with your brothers and sisters in Christ that you're in covenant community with. Study the Bible together, pray together. Your renewal of your mind will largely rise and fall based upon your time spent with these two gifts from God in your life, the Word of God and the people of God. So let me ask you this in closing. Are you content where you're at? Or do you have something in you that's like, man, my mind's got to change? I remember, I think I've mentioned this multiple times, but Rick Warren was given a lecture at a Desiring God conference, and he said, don't always believe what you think. Just because it comes into your mind does not make it true. That was so good for me because I was so used to thinking something, just assuming, well, I thought it. It's got to be right or I wouldn't have thought it. And to always hold myself at arm's length, my own mind at arm's length, and look at it suspiciously compared to what I read in the Holy Scriptures. So are you content with where you are at and you're living a life of a sacrifice? Or do you feel like transformation is needed? Now here's what I know after walking with Christ a few years. We can acknowledge and be thankful and rejoice in the change that has taken place. But with any honest reflection on our own lives, I want some more change. There's sin in my life, unbelief, that leads me in all kinds of different sin that needs to go. And my mind has to change on where my joy is going to come from. My mind's got to change where my hope is going to come from. My mind has to change on what will drive my affections. So are you happy with your life in Christ? Meaning, do you consider your life a living sacrifice? Does your life that you just live, does it feel like death sometimes? Like, man, I gotta give again in this marriage. He or she's just not changing, so I have to. Why is it always on me to change and give? Or in parenting? Or at work, or as being a child. That's, as I mentioned last week, that is the life of a Christian. Constant, constant change. Do you feel pressure from the world trying to change you, conform you, press you to look like it? Christianity is a constant and daily renewal of the mind. I am reminded of John 15. One of my favorite sermon series I've done here is just, we was in the middle of John, but that chapter 15 did my heart so good that this life in the Spirit is like a vine and a branch and fruit. And Jesus says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. And the Spirit flows through Him into our lives. And He says, if you're not a part of me, meaning if you're some sort of weed or other vine, He takes it away and burns it. But if you are in Him, He says He does what? Prunes. He cuts. So that we will bear more fruit. Dear Christian, does your life feel like that? As you read the Scripture, like, oh, cut. And then fruit. As you come to church, you feel cut and then growth. And then glory of all glories. He says, I'm telling you this about the pruning and the pain and the more fruit so that my joy will be in you, he says, and your joy will be full. That this renewal of our mind that is painful at times but brings more fruit is for our joy? Can you fathom that your happiness and joy tomorrow is based upon how much your mind has changed today? How much your mind is transfigured today and tomorrow is where your joy will come from next week and next year? That it's not in how fast you can reach your next goal at work or goal in your health or the next financial goal. That's not where the joy is at. The joy is that you won't think the same way in a year. That there's more joy. That's amazing. And what he does in saying that, in thinking about the renewing of our mind, is that he's not asking you to suffer and be whipped. He's asking you to offer yourself to be pruned so that he can make you more joyful. He can make you more joyful through sanctification than you can make yourself. If I was to give you $1 billion, you couldn't make yourself as happy as he can make you through sanctification. That's amazing. It's hard to believe, isn't it? I mean, my mind automatically goes, $1 billion. You know what I can do with $1 billion? Everybody says, the lottery doesn't make you happy. And the joke is, well, I haven't tried it. It takes a renewal of our mind to comprehend that there's more joy and more fruit from being transformed. Lastly, the real lastly, the lastly. Notice that this conforming or transforming is passive. These are outside forces doing it. I'll just repeat what I said last week. You're being changed. You're either being conformed to the world, or you're being transformed by the renewal of your mind. It's passive. Either God is at work in you, or the world is at work on you. I think that's why he says, offer yourself a living sacrifice. Yes, it feels like work to us, but it is his work of mercy. So don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father in heaven, you are absolutely amazing. These words change me by your grace. So thankful. Thankful for your people here at Fellowship Baptist Church that you have bought with the blood of your Son. Praise you, Jesus. I'm thankful, Father, that I see this vineyard and I see growth. I see pruning and pain and I see fruitfulness and I see new growth from those seeds just by being around long enough to see it and having the grace to have open eyes. But Father, I see in myself things that are not of you. I see things in your body that are not of you. And so I would ask that you would remove them from us, that you would prune us, you would renew our mind, chiefly through your word, chiefly through your people, and then also with every other means in this world. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen.